You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
Obviously, another day, another racism incident in South Africa. And the latest is this man who have now decided that the best way to go viral is to take your cue from Adam Katsavelos and to upload a video of yourself, and explicitly in this case, to call President Cyril Ramaphosa Kaffir. Not the K-word media. He didn't say I'm calling him the K-word. He called him the word Kaffir. Let's be very clear here, because that is an accurate quote. If you are quoting the use of the words, there's nothing unethical from a media ethics point of view to accurately quote the word. The question is, why are we not doing so? And I think we dilute the trampling on the dignity of black people when we say the K word. That's one of the issues you and I can debate. Obviously, for some people, the word is a trigger. You don't want to hear it 1,000 times on the open line. The plosive, particularly when it comes from someone like myself with my voice, may be triggering for you. But certainly in writing, for example, like in a newspaper report, a digital report, I find reference to the K word to be a kind of sanitized form of reporting that doesn't do justice to why it is that this is a deeply problematic incident that has now happened, courtesy of a man in Durban by the name of Kesi Naya. You would have heard that he was arrested, and obviously he was arrested for the crime of criminaluria, which is a crime against the state, and it's one of the old common law crimes involving basically an offence of dignity against society and a particular group of people in society, in this case obviously black people. So he has been arrested. There's a couple of issues here worth unpacking and also debating, by the way, on which we can reasonably disagree, even if we all think racism is bad. The first thing is that the family has released a statement, and along the way the family has said the following of their beloved son: that in fact he suffers a serious chronic illness. The visuals he posted of himself shows he lacks the intelligence and understanding of what he's saying, and that he had previously been incarcerated. They don't tell you that he was criminally incarcerated, make it sound like he might have been a hero suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome. His incarceration for a long time due to fraud, I'll add parenthetically, has also played a role in his personality. He needs immediate medical care and attention. Okay, let's separate out two issues here. The second, I think, is subject to reasonable disagreement, even amongst woke people. The first, I don't think that we can disagree on this one. Anyone who needs conviction on the first point, quite frankly, I've got nothing more to say to you. Can we please stop excusing racism on the basis of illness? Like, really? Being chronically ill doesn't explain, nor does it justify, nor does it reduce your blameworthiness for your racist action and for your racist speech. And I'm doubly pissed off here because it also does several things in the process. A, we pathologize racism, which is very convenient for the racist, because basically you're saying a racist is a sick person as opposed to an immoral person. Well, let's be very clear about how false dichotomies operate. Someone can be ill and they can also be a bigot. The two are not mutually exclusive. So we need to stop trying to prioritize a kind of pathologizing description of racism, patriarchy, homophobia, and other forms of bigotry. Don't tell me that the guy has a chronic illness. What does that have to do with the price of brandy? For all I know, this guy prefers, as I said on social media just now, tea to coffee. Maybe he prefers Facebook to Twitter. Maybe his favorite color underwear is red. Those are all extraneous facts about him. I don't need to know those things in order to condemn his action. Maybe he's got high blood pressure. I've got high blood pressure. I don't recall seeing on the side of my box of medication that one of the side effects of the medication is racism or patriarchy. You can't blame the medication or the chronic condition for you simply being a bigot. It sounds exactly like Roseanne, the American comic, who blamed her medication for her racism. And then the pharmaceutical company had to put out a statement and say, oh, careful here, there are many side effects that our medication causes. Racism, Roseanne, is not one of them. And I want to say the same to Mr. Kesi Naya. Chronic illness doesn't cause racism, nor does your medication for your chronic illness justify the racism, explain it, or cause it. Own your racism, and you are thoroughbred racist, and that's it. It may be also true that you have a chronic condition. It may be true that you even have a mental illness. But let's also be clear. There are thousands of South Africans listening to me right now who have, for example, bipolar disorder, but who are decent human beings, who suffer from anxiety, but who are decent human beings. So the idea that even a mental illness makes you more prone to be a bigot is one that we need to interrogate. As my producer Marva said this morning, people are beginning to treat racism as if it is like Tourette's syndrome. You just can't help yourself, or like a twitch. You know, it's a twitch. It just comes out of the mouth. It doesn't just come out of the mouth. It flows from a racist character, and you have to be called out on it. Anyone who wants to debate that, I've got nothing to say to you. Because illness doesn't excuse or explain racism. Here's the bit that I think we can debate. How do you feel as a Liberal Democrat about the fact that someone has been arrested this morning for what they think? I'm uncomfortable with that. I don't have a clear view. I agree with my friend Tsepo on Facebook, who says we've had enough. There needs to be consequences. I totally agree with that. And I do not know what to do with my desire for consequences, with my discomfort that someone can be arrested for thought and for speech. I don't know how to square that.